Today, we'll talk about my favorite Disney World resorts in each category. That's coming up on this episode 24 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk Disney World strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert, the creator of WDWPrepSchool.com and this podcast, obviously. I am so happy to have you here and excited. I can't believe we're already at episode 24. And I'm excited to dive into the topic of my favorite Disney World resorts. I tend to, on the website, talk about it in sort of matter-of-fact ways about these are all of the resorts, these are all the restaurants, etc., and I don't dive into my favorites very often, so I'm excited to sort of do that today with the resorts. Before we do that, I want to do some housekeeping-type things. First of all, just a reminder that you can find me on social media. I know that you're at least on one social network, and you should definitely take the time to follow me there. Twitter and Pinterest and Facebook page and Instagram and YouTube and Tumblr, all of those things, I'm on all of them. Some I'm on more than others, and my favorites tend to be Pinterest and the Facebook page, and you can easily find those by going to Pinterest.com/WDW Prep School or Facebook.com/WDW Prep School. And I just wanted to, I don't very often talk about things that recently happened on the website, but I'm going to start including that just as kind of another chance to speak about things that I've written about recently. One of the things that sort of occurred to me recently, we've been talking a lot about FastPass Plus, and a lot of people have a lot of anxieties, and some people even verge into anger about it. But the people that feel the brunt of it are the cast members, the employees at Disney World. And, you know, they're the ones that are sort of trying to learn something new and train thousands of people. They have to learn something new, and then they have to work with thousands of people, the guests that come every day into the parks. And it's a lot to take on. And so this week I designed some thank you notes that could be printed and handed out in the parks. And so you might want to check those out on the website. They are about the size of a small postcard, and I designed those so that you could print them and hand them out as is, or you could turn them over on the back and write a personalized note. All cast members have name tags, and so it's easy to sort of see what their name is and then jot a little note, you know, hey, John, thank you for making an extra special memory for our family, or whatever the case may be. So that's something really nice. But just as important, though, in the posts where I had these 8 thank you notes I designed, was information about how to make sure you notify their manager, because their manager can be notified, or a card filled out about a nice experience that you've had. And then the cast members can be rewarded in the form of things like Disney dollars or special tickets or something like that. And so it's important to not only tell the cast member that they did something nice for you, but to also let the management know so that they can win prizes and also have a nice note written in their record. So if they're up for a promotion or a transfer, that will be reflected. So anyway, something to look for if you haven't seen that on the website. Another thing that is on the website, and this is actually what I spent most of my week doing, was I updated my ebook and all the bonus materials that come with it. I don't very often speak about the ebook, even though it's the only thing on the site that's for sale. I know some people like to promote, but I tend to not do that so much. But it's an ebook that someone told me this week is the best money they've ever spent on their trip. And it is essentially, when you purchase it, you get a zip file. And in the zip file is a PDF of the ebook that takes you through the 6-step planning process. And it's quite effective. And the reason that I know it's effective is that it has a worksheet that goes with it that people who read it can fill out and email to me to review. And all of the worksheets I have gotten, except for one, have been incredibly good. So I know that the information is helpful, and it is helping people to create effective trip plans. In addition to the PDF that comes in the zip file, there are also lots of other bonus materials. And one of the most popular is these custom maps that I had an illustrator create of all the parks. And so these maps print each on one piece of paper, And all of the attractions are color-coded so that you can see what time of day to visit each one. And I have updated them to reflect which ones offer FastPass Plus and where the FastPass Plus kiosks are. And another bonus that's included is touring plans. So there's 10 different touring plans, and you can scan a QR code and download them to your phone in an image format, or you can open them up in Word format, PDF, etc. So the ebook just makes things easier, and that it has lots of materials that you can use to sort of plan your trip pretty easily and to have the quick reference materials during your trip that you can use, like the maps and the touring plans. So anyways, that's something to look for, and I'll have links to that in the show notes if you're interested. Now, I guess our last housekeeping item is going to be about iTunes, and I sometimes feel a little bit silly reading all these really nice iTunes reviews. It feels a little bit egotistical, like I'm reading compliments about myself, but I do appreciate that people have taken the time to leave them. I chose one today that is left by somebody named Peyton Place. And what is significant to me about the name is that my daughter's name is Peyton, and this person spelled it P-A-Y-T-O-N. The original TV series called Peyton's Place is spelled P-E-Y-T-O-N. And so people often misspell my daughter's name, P-E-Y-T-O-N, because, you know, that was sort of the first version of the name that existed. And so it's a very common mistake. But this person spelled it P-A-Y-T-O-N. So Peyton Place says, the review is titled A New Favorite. And it says, my wife introduced me to this podcast and I'm hooked. While our family is experienced DVC members, Shannon has some great tips and tricks that we'll be sure to use next time we're down in the world. Her explanation of FastPass Plus is the best I've come across. Thanks, Shannon. So I appreciate that, Peyton Place, and I'm glad that you took the time to leave that review. For people who aren't aware, DVC is Disney's version of a timeshare, and I'll actually discuss that today because it is one of the categories of resorts at Disney World, and I do have a recommendation in that category. And I just wanted to mention too, since I'm talking about my daughter, today is her 19th birthday, and I am just super happy to have had her. She has introduced me to a whole new world. I actually am not sure if all this Disney stuff would have really happened if it wasn't for her, because she's such a make-believe kind of girl, and I'm not. And it really sort of introduced me to this world of playing tea parties and dressing up and things like that. And so even now at her age, we do things at Disney World that remind me of when she was a little girl. Like we go to tea parties and wear costumes and things when we're on our trips sometimes, which just as a side note, you can't do when you're an adult-sized person. You can only do at special parties. But anyway, super fun, and I'm happy to be able to continue to play dress up and make believe with her, even though she is legally an adult. So let's go ahead and dive into today's topic, which is about my favorite Disney World resorts in each category. So first, I think we should talk about what the categories are, and the categories are primarily by price, and their price and features. So each category, value is the least expensive and the least amenities. And then you've got moderate resorts, and then you've got deluxe resorts. And then you have DVC resorts, which is something that was just mentioned, and that stands for Disney Vacation Club. And I'll talk more about that when I get to it. In each category, I have two favorite resorts, and so I want to kind of discuss those today. I do have a post on the site called The Pros and Cons of All Disney Resorts, and it was published a little less than a year ago, I think, and it is by far the most popular thing that I have ever written. It has been penned over 100,000 times, and essentially it has a list of every Disney World resort, and for each one I have listed a pro, a con. There's a picture of each one. There's tips on for each one, including things like which rooms to request. I've also added standard bed size because some of them have full beds and some of them have queen. And it's just very, very popular. I think people like hearing both sides. You end up on websites and podcasts where people are either extremely negative or extremely positive, and I try to sort of maintain a balance. And so the pros and cons posts tend to do that for people, and they like to see both sides. So this post is very popular and something you might want to check out, and I will, of course, include a link to that in the show notes. So let's start with And before we dive in, I should say that I have stayed at lots of Disney World resorts, not all of them, however. And so these are based on my experience, but I am aware of some of the, you know, perks of some of the ones I haven't stayed in. So I'll mention those as they come up. So the first category is value resorts. Now in the value resort category, we essentially have there's three different all-star resorts: movies, music, and sports. All-star movies, all-star music, all-star sports. And then we have Pop Century and Art of Animation. My two favorites in this category are Pop Century and Art of Animation. Pop Century tends to be the least expensive when you're online and you're booking. If budget's your primary concern, Pop Century will often be the least expensive option along with the all-star resorts. But it's better because it has its own buses. And by that, I mean that the buses go directly between the resort and the parks as opposed to sharing. The all-star resorts can share buses. It depends on the time of year. But there is a chance that they will share. And so it takes a lot longer to make the trip to and from the park when you have to make stops along the way. Pop Century does not. In fact, most of the resorts I have stayed at have been deluxe resorts, but I don't know that we've ever been as fast as when we stayed at Pop Century. It's incredibly efficient, and I know it can vary, and it's not always going to be as quick as the day that the week that we were there, but it was very, very impressive. I was a little bit of a snob about staying there because I had only stayed at deluxe and moderate resorts, and so it was my first introduction to value. And I was pleasantly surprised. And one of the reasons is because the buses were so effective. Art of Animation also has its own buses. And so that is another pro for Art of Animation. Art of Animation also has suites, which can fit up to six people. It's actually mostly suites. They have some standard rooms, but it's mostly suites. And they have three beds and two bathrooms and kitchenette area. So it's actually a really, really good option for people that have either larger families or a need for more space in separate areas. So I highly recommend that as a good option for larger families, especially. Art of Animation is also the newest of the resorts. And so it's quite, you know, you don't have to worry about it being outdated or anything like that. One thing to be aware of is that Art of Animation does not often qualify for discounts when they come out. So a lot of times the discounts will come out and they'll say the Little Mermaid rooms, which are the non-suites at Art of Animation, don't qualify for it. So it's something that's kind of a con for Art of Animation, because I assume it's because they book up without any problems. So Disney doesn't offer discounts because of that. So that is in the value category for me. That's Pop Century and Art of Animation. Now let's move on to the moderate category. And in this category, my recommendations are Port Orleans Riverside and Port Orleans French Quarter. And these two are actually right next to each other. They used to be part of the same resort, but now they're technically different resorts. And they are both good options, in my opinion. Both of them offer queen beds, whereas other moderates will offer full. They're both gorgeous, themed after parts of Louisiana. And at Port Orleans Riverside, you can actually fit five per room in a portion of the resort, which is the only moderate that offers that option. Families of five often have to stay in deluxes in a room at Port Orleans Riverside or in a suite at Art of Animation, or one of the All-Stars offers a suite as well. So anyway, there's some really nice perks here for these two resorts. And I will say that the pros and cons of these two resorts sort of complement each other. So for instance, at Port Orleans Riverside, one of the cons is that the transportation is difficult. It can take a long time for the buses to arrive. And then once you get on the bus, then you have to stop a lot internally at the resort. It's a big resort. And then, you know, then you can be on your way. And then when you're on your way back, a lot of times the lines at Port Orleans Riverside are quite long to board. However, Port Orleans French Quarter does not have this issue. And so if you are staying at Port Orleans Riverside, you can often use Port Orleans French Quarter transportation, particularly when coming back from something like a fireworks show when the lines get long at the end of the day, and just walk back to your resort. It takes a few minutes to do the walk, but it's much shorter and much easier than waiting in a line for 90 minutes at the end of the night. So that's, you know, that's a con of Port Orleans Riverside that can be overcome by using Port Orleans French Quarter. Now, on the Port Orleans French Quarter side, it is a smaller resort, which is a great thing, but they do have less amenities. Like, there's no restaurant there, for instance, but you can easily walk over to Port Orleans Riverside and use their restaurant if you would like. So they complement each other nicely. And so I will say, now that we have talked about moderates and values, that I do recommend, when it's an option, booking a preferred room. And the reason is that these resorts are huge. And if you don't book a preferred room, then you will be further away from the main building. That option exists at Pop Century, and that option exists at Port Orleans Riverside. And so I recommend using it there. At Port Orleans French Quarter, it's not necessary because it's a smaller resort. Art of Animation, the option does not exist. It is a huge resort, so the best option is to request rooms that are closer to the main building. And so you have to just hope that your request is met, but you cannot pay for the preferred room to make that happen. So, and in this category, I have to mention Coronado Springs. I have not stayed at Coronado Springs yet, but I will be in 5 or 6 weeks on my next trip. And I want to mention it because it is a moderate that serves conventions primarily, or in large part. And so it tends to have more amenities than a lot of resorts in this category, such as it has a salon, it has a health club, it has room service. And so it has some extra things that you wouldn't necessarily normally see at the moderate level. So I'm adding it here as an honorable mention item, and I will have firsthand experience in 5 or 6 weeks to be able to report back on that. But it's definitely one worth considering. Now, in the deluxe category, my recommendations here are the Polynesian and the Beach Club. Now, these two resorts have a couple things in common. One is they both have fairly easy access to 2 of the 4 parks. They both have a beachy theme, although different beaches. And they are just really popular with kids typically. And the Polynesian is in the Magic Kingdom area resort. It has the monorail that goes there. It has great restaurants in there inside the hotel Ohana and Kona. And you can get to the Epcot resort and the Epcot monorail and the Magic Kingdom monorail fairly easily from there. And it's just a really great place. However, the Polynesian is going through some construction this year, so I actually wouldn't recommend it until the construction is finished, because that could be a real problem, considering that it's fairly expensive and you wouldn't want to have to hear the construction equipment. Now, the Beach Club is very, very close to Epcot, like a 5-minute walk. And this happens to be our family's favorite resort. And you can actually walk to Hollywood Studios as well, which takes about 15 minutes. And they also have great restaurants inside. And both of these hotels actually have easy access to other restaurants as well, because they're close to other resorts. So the Polynesian is on the monorail loop, and so all the restaurants that are in the hotels there would be easy to get to. At the Beach Club, you have the whole boardwalk, and so you have the boardwalk hotel, the boardwalk resort, and the Swan and the Dolphin and the Yacht Club. And being able to go into Epcot within just a few minutes means lots of restaurants right there in the World Showcase. And so these are my favorites by far. Like, if someone says money's not my top concern, I just want to pick the best thing, these would be the two. So if you want to stay closer to the Magic Kingdom, go to the Polynesian. If you want to be closer to Epcot, stay at the Beach Club. I don't think you can go wrong. They're both just a ton of fun. Now, in the DVC category, Disney Vacation Club, most of the Disney Vacation Club properties are attached to deluxe resorts. So the construction right now at the Polynesian is to build a DVC component there, including over-the-water huts like you would see in Bora Bora or something. And there's also some at the Contemporary, the Grand Floridian, the Boardwalk, the Beach Club, so at Animal Kingdom. So a lot of the deluxe resorts have a DVC component to them. But one thing worth noting in this category is that Old Key West, which is not attached to a deluxe resort, it's more remote and it's not attached to, it is in itself just a DVC resort. It has studio rooms with 2 queen beds in it, and they're more square footage. I think it was the first DVC property to be built, and the rooms are just bigger and they have more room for the beds. And so there's 2 queen beds. The studios at the other DVC locations are smaller, and they have 1 bed with a sofa bed inside of it, a sofa couch that folds out. And so Old Key West is a great option for people that want to rent a studio or have a timeshare with points to spend, but want a little bit of extra room. So that's my tip. So I hope that is helpful for you. I'm excited about all these resorts. And I think if you pick any of the ones I've mentioned, you will not be sorry. I think your trip will be great. It'll just kind of matter what your theming is, which park you want access to, which amenities are the most important to you, that kind of thing. Before we wrap up today, I wanted to mention my quick tip of the day. My quick tip of the day is about Disney dollars. Disney dollars are paper money that has Disney characters on it that you can spend in the park like a gift card. Disney dollars used to be easy to get. Like I would go into the Disney stores and get them or whatever. But now Disney dollars are primarily only available in the theme parks. And so you can't get them until you get on your trip. But there is another way to do it, which is on the phone. And of course, I'll include this in the show notes, but I'll go ahead and give you the information now as well. By calling 407-566-4985 and then hitting option 2 and then option 3 on the menu, you can order Disney dollars. And that way you can have them sent before your trip. And if you want to use my idea of, for instance, having Tinkerbell visit your room, you can kind of have that already lined up. And if you don't know what Tinkerbell is, I will include a link to that in the show notes. But essentially, it's like having Santa Claus visit during your trip. And having the Disney dollars ahead of time can be helpful for that because you can give those to the kids and they can spend it on whatever they want. And so I just thought that was a really nice tip because there is a rumor going around that Disney dollars are no longer really available, but the fact is that they still are, and this is how you can get them. So I think that is going to wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode24. That is the number 24. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.